Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
And trying to understand what that all means from the perspective of the transformation that we're trying to go through. And as you know, there's a lot of discussion about moving from the idea of the ego to spirit. And it's really trying to understand what is that really all about. And that's what these lessons are, hopefully are kind of a practical how-to of the process. So again, like, so we're still in this journey, and the purpose being to strive to reduce the dominance of our personal self, the true self, the Christ self, has a greater opportunity to express in our lives. And the nature of these lessons is to help us unravel ourselves from the dilemma of being stuck in ourselves, meaning stuck in our habitual way of reacting to life's experiences. Remember I said before, the ego cannot jump out of the ego. So how do we move into a whole different perspective of how we respond to the things that life does for us? And the key here is that, you know, as long as many of us have been studying, we understand the difference between truth and error. But we can't always operate from truth, even though we know the difference, all right? So this is a very common explanation of that from Paul that I've read many times before. It's in Romans 7, 14 through 21. And he says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave into sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do the spiritual thing, the loving thing that I want to do, but rather I do the very thing that I do not want to do. I can decipher what is right, but I cannot seem to always do what is right. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want, that is what I do. Anybody relate? It says, when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. And yes, I delight in the law of God, in my innermost self, but I see in my being another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin, which dwells in my being. Conflicted person I am. Who will deliver me from this body of unspiritual desires? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. All right. And again, doesn't that really kind of sum up the process we find ourselves going through? You know, and this, I believe, is a point in the spiritual process where, you know, we're trying to move to that loving, peaceful, compassionate thing. But the question we always have to ask ourselves is, why can't I always do it? Thus, our spiritual journey is to reduce the dominance of our conflicted self so that the true self, the Christ self, has a greater opportunity to express in every aspect of our lives. And you'll notice here I'm using different ways of describing the ego. You know, that one was the conflicted self, you know, the things, the war that's constantly going on in our minds. So if we talked about through this whole series, the idea of reducing the dominance of the ego self is a concept behind the process of crucifixion. So, you know, we all know the story of Jesus going through the process of heading towards the cross, and he several times Jesus talked about the fact that he was going to do this. Even when he overturned everything in the temple and the priest said, by what right do you have to do this? He says, you know, I will die, but I will rise again in 3 days. And a lot of them didn't understand what he was talking about. But several times he's talked about the fact. So Jesus was always moving towards this idea of how do I completely function from the concept of the Christ self. All right. And Paul, you know, said in 1 Corinthians 15:31 that you heard me say before, I die daily, meaning that which we are stuck in is we're trying to let it go aspects of it little by little every day. We want the conflicted self to die or fall away, making room for Christ-like qualities to take their place. And Eric Butterworth would say that Mother Nature abhors a vacuum, but God will not allow it. All right? So the more we are able to let go of those energies within us that cause conflict in our lives, we create a vacuum which God is going to fill. All right? So we want to get to this place where what we're expressing is Christ's energy, Christ's love, Christ's faith, Christ's wisdom, and that will increase in dominance in our mind, heart, and spirit. Okay. So Paul said, we are sold as slaves into sin. So therefore, our spiritual quest is to break the bonds that we have used to imprison ourselves. So you say, well, I don't really remember imprisoning myself. But if you find yourself in a habitual way of responding to life or reacting to life, it's a habit you find hard to break. You know, and even when somebody acknowledges or lets you know that that's what you're doing, sometimes you don't even realize that that's what you're doing because it's a habit. It's just a way of responding to life, okay? So we want to become more conscious of that. So when the bonds of the limited personal self are broken, or in the case of this series of lessons, crucified, resurrection to our higher state of consciousness is a natural occurrence. So as soon as you let go of something in your life that's causing conflict, that you have crucified that idea or let it die, and what happens is you move to another level of consciousness. Does that make sense? Okay. So remember, the spiritual process doesn't go like this. It's not a skew. It's that you're moving along and you let go of some challenge within yourself. And when you do, you rise up to the next level. Is that making sense? Okay. So it's almost like the stuff we carry around has us weighed down, but when we let go of a little bit of it, we rise up. That's sort of the idea. Okay. So these Lenten lessons are about how to break the bonds that hold us in an unpredictable state of flux. Not only can we not predict what others will do, we can't even predict what our own reactions will be to unknown challenges in life. All right? So the crucifixion and resurrection experience is about moving from being unpredictable to predictable. To being, somebody says, well, this just happened. And you kind of go, okay. As opposed to, what? Right? Okay? So that's the idea. Because stuff is always going to happen. And what's interesting, what we don't understand is that the soul is actually drawing these experiences to let us know where we are in the process. You get it? You know? So it's like a constant test is happening. You know, and what the way you respond to it, you can just say to yourself, you know, I passed that test, or I've got work to do. Okay? So we want to kind of know where we are. We want to kind of know the process that we're moving through. So from a practical standpoint, much of our journey has to do with learning how to be able to hear, acknowledge, and follow the guidance of our inner divine consciousness. So you say to yourself, well, I don't really know how to do this. Well, that's okay, because you have an inner divine consciousness that's always guiding you. So the key here is now not so much of how do I stop doing this, but how do I listen more deeply, more clearly, for the guidance that will help me to move to another space, all right? So it's recorded in Joshua 1:8 that the Lord gave Joshua some words of encouragement and direction after the death of Moses to help him to remain centered and live the spiritual life. So he said to Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. And here's the key. Do not turn to the left or to the right so that you may be successful in wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it daily, day and night, so that you will be careful to do everything that's written in it. Then will you be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Okay? So do not turn to the left or the right. I mean, how many of us find ourselves in a situation where stuff came up and you know what you're about, how you're supposed to be, but you find yourself deviating from that path, Okay? And so that's what that's saying. Do not turn to the left or right. Knowing that there is a straight and narrow path, but wanting to deviate from that path to the left or right is wanting to do your own thing as opposed to the thing, the guidance that you're receiving from within. How many people have actually heard the guidance and decided to do something different anyway? Right? Yeah. So, yeah. And that's sort of the process, you know? So it's at least getting to a point where you hear the guidance and just be still and don't do anything. You say, well, I can't follow the guidance, but I'm just going to be still. I'm not going to do the thing I want to do. I mean, that's at least a step, okay, in the phrase. So the spiritual path is a tough one. And we have all been to that place where truth versus error, or more specifically, where the truth versus our perception of what is true. Now remember, truth versus error. So truth is absolute, all right? Error is that there are things from our perception we will call true just because we want them to be true, all right? Or we'll call them false just because we want them to be false. So that's the whole process of error, because we deal in a dualistic mind. Our mind says everything has to be good or it has to be bad, has to be right or has to be wrong. But truth says everything just is. Everything falls under the love that God is, all right? And that's the part that our mind can't really grasp at this particular point, okay? So we're talking about living life by way of very specific focus, a way that by the very process itself diminishes or crucifies the old self to allow the new Christ self to resurrect and live within us. Now, here's a key point for us all to understand is that we have already crucified a lot of our old stuff. Am I right? All through our lives, we've been doing it. We've been crucifying old habits, old things, all things. We can probably look back and go, all the things that we used to do that were detrimental to our lives, we just don't do anymore. And because of that, we have already resurrected to a new self. Okay? But the key here is we have to keep that process going. As you've heard me say, when Jesus got to the point of the crucifixion, he had mastered all of the 12 disciples except for one, which was life, represented by Judas. And that's why when you study scripture, everybody says that Judas was a traitor and this and that, but Judas was actually one of the most evolved of all the disciples because Jesus spent a lot of time with him, helping him to understand how he needed him to help him with his process. Okay? And so even Jesus was working through that process. And that's why at the end, when Pilate said to him, you know, if this is your kingdom, why don't you do whatever? And Jesus said, you know, this is not my kingdom. If it was, you know, there's some things I could do. But I'm not going there, okay, because I'm not doing this again, okay? You get the idea? So if you begin to understand that even Jesus was working through this process to evolve to the highest level of consciousness he possibly could, he was demonstrating for us the process we also need to go through, okay, to get to the highest level that we can as well. Now, but I realize that quite often when life has pressed us up against the proverbial wall, this whole spiritual thing seems so far removed or out of touch with the issues that we are dealing with. You know, you get what I'm saying? You know, oh no, you know, this particular thing is that I'm going through is rough. So it's conceivable. And let me just jump back to the song that we were singing. That song did take a little bit of, what's the word I'm looking for, effort to keep up, the congregational song. I don't know about you, but I was losing my way in that song, right? Okay. All right. But the words in it were powerful. The words were saying that if you keep this in your mind, you will remove from your mind these other things. So, and that's what we talked about last week. This is a practice that I do, is that when I'm struggling with something, I pull into my mind an affirmation, usually one I created, and I keep saying that affirmation until there's nothing else in my mind but that affirmation. And I find what happens is I almost can't remember what it was that I was struggling with because the affirmation has completely taken over. Does that make sense? So it is a working process you have to do, all right? So this, you know, but sometimes you're in something, it just seems that you're, you know, that this whole spiritual thing is just very much removed from the thing that you're going through. It is conceivable that when the affairs and the relationships in our life begin to overwhelm us, it makes God seem far away from us. And it makes Jesus Christ seem far away from us, meaning it makes the Christ consciousness within us far removed from what is confronting us. Okay? But as we discussed in last week's lesson, increasing the awareness of Christ in our minds, in our hearts, occurs when the ego is allowed to fall completely into the holy ground of the indwelling Christ awareness, dying to itself, its own selfishness, stubborn, resistant self, so that we can awaken to the divine imprisoned splendor within us. And this occurs through daily prayer and meditation. So what I just described, something is coming, you know, you're dealing with your life. You hold on to an affirmation, be still and know that I am God, whatever it is. And you work with that affirmation. So what happens is you're doing that affirmation with such commitment and energy that the ego falls into the holy ground of your indwelling Christ awareness. So last week we talked about that ego is the seed, and inside the seed, that seed is the potential of the Christ. But as Jesus said, unless that seed falls into the ground and dies, that imprisoned splendor cannot come out. Does that make sense? So we're not saying the ego is a bad thing. We're saying the ego is actually the seed that contains the Christ. But we've got to let that husk of the ego fall away so the Christ can come out. All right? And you do that through prayer and meditation. And the prayer is not sitting as, oh, please God. That's supplicating prayer. It's you are saying a strong, absolute affirmation. Be still and know that I am God. I am immersed in the holy presence of thy love. Whatever it might be that you need to get your ego to settle down. That's the practical application of it, all right? And yes, all of this sounds wonderful, but have you ever thought to yourself that this spiritual journey is outlined by Jesus is just too tough to follow? Okay. Now listen to how this journey is described, and it's called a daily devotion, my utmost for his highest. And it says, at the beginning of our life with Jesus Christ, we were sure we knew what we needed to know to follow him. But now we're not quite so sure. It explains in Mark 10:32, they were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples and those who followed were afraid. All right? It says there's an aspect of Jesus' teachings that chills even a disciple's heart to its depths and makes his or her entire spiritual life gasp for air. However, a disciple in dismay is an essential lesson which a disciple must learn to work through. So when the darkness of dismay comes, endure it until it is over, because out of it will come the ability to follow Jesus' teachings truly and bring inexpressible, wonderful joy to your life. So it's saying that when you find yourself in dismay, you know, when you find yourself discouraged and overwhelmed, they're saying that that's normal for a disciple, right? And what would we call that? Second force, right? That's second force. So it's saying don't be dismayed because you are dismayed. Don't be discouraged because you're dismayed. You know, it's that hang in there. You know, as long as you are keeping your minds focused, working with those affirmations, you know, you will get through that process. And this reading is expressing that the deeper we dig into the teachings of Jesus and begin to understand the crucifixion of the old self for the purpose of allowing the resurrection of the new self, the more we realize that this spiritual journey is greater than we ever imagined. And that's good. That's good for you to realize that it was greater than you imagined. Because it means now that you have to be even more focused, right? Put even more commitment into the process. And as you know, I read in another daily reading, this unusual person with his face set like a flint. That set like a flint is from Isaiah 57. This unusual person with his face set like a flint is walking with great determination ahead of me, and he strikes terror right through me. All right? Now, to emphasize this, let's read Mark 10:35-38. He took the 12 disciples aside and began to tell them what was going to happen to him, saying, We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit upon him, flog him, and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again. Now, he's talking to the disciples. What do you think they're thinking? All right? Now, James and John, the son of Zebedee, came forward and said to him, "Teacher, grant us to sit, one at your right and one at your left in your glory." So they came up and said, "You're going to go through this. We're going to go through it with you." And Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the cup that I will drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I will be baptized with?" He's saying to them, "Yeah, I know you got it in your heart. You want to do this. But this ain't going to be no cakewalk." Right? All right? And so he's letting them know that. You know. So when asked, "Are you able to drink from the cup?" When Jesus said, "Are you able to drink from the cup that I will drink from?" He's asking, "Are you able to face the challenging situations and people in your life and still drink of the spiritual life instead of the fearful ego life?" All right? And the revealing word says, to drink of the cup from which Jesus drank is to gain mastery over every impulse of mind and body and devote one's whole life to spirit. So he says, drink of the cup that I drink from. That means no matter what is going on in your life, you're drinking of the spiritual life. You're not letting yourself drink of the ego's fear and, you know, all the stuff that we go through. Is everybody grasping the depth of that? Okay. So therein lies our dilemma: devote one's whole life to spirit. And to do so requires a massive letting go of all your old ways to make room for the new. It requires that your mind be set like a flint, walking with determination. No matter what happens, your mind is going to stay focused on the spirit. So for the most part, right now, we're like the rich man Jesus spoke of in Matthew 19:21, and he said, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have so that your treasure will be in heaven, and come follow me." And Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Okay, and just a little history too. The eye of a needle was actually it was a gate, yeah. And you know, the camels had to get down to squirmy through this. He was actually quoting something historical that they knew about, right? But, you know, as many as you know, the riches that Jesus is referring to is not, you know, our 401ks and, you know, all that kind of stuff. He's not referring to that, right? He's referring to the bounty of conflicting ego stuff that we harbor and so stubbornly hold on to. He's saying that you cannot make the transition from ego to Christ while you're loaded down with a lot of your own ego stuff. That's what he's saying. Give up all of that and come follow me. And if you're, you know, asking yourself, well, how do I do that? How do I let go of this bounty of, you know, stuff that I'm holding on to? The answer is love is the method through which you shed excess pounds that are keeping you from going through that opening that leads to the kingdom of heaven. Love is the Atkins diet of spirit that helps you to shed excess pounds from that your ego is carrying around. Now, on the Atkins diet, there is no unnecessary starchy stuff. It's just protein. And in the case of the equivalent spiritual diet, there's no starchy ego stuff, just love, okay? And the dictionary explains that proteins are the fundamental components of all living cells. From a spiritual perspective, love is a fundamental component of all living beings. A diet of love and forgiveness and gratitude will help you to shed the negative emotional stuff within you that will no longer serve you in terms of what you're trying to accomplish in your life. So what did I just say? Love, forgiveness, and gratitude, all right? Those are powerful instruments to use in this process of moving to a higher level of consciousness. So just think, when life hits you in the face, you have a choice to drink from the cup of faith or drink from the cup of fear, drink from the cup of love or drink from the cup of anguish and despair. Jesus is asking, are you able to forego your fearful self and drink from the cup of faith and love? Right? That's the key. So Jesus asked the disciples, are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? Now, if you think of baptism as immersion, you can ask yourself, in times of challenge, do I immerse myself, meaning do I baptize myself in joy or in pain? In fear or in faith? In Christ or in crisis? All right? And you know what it means. Have you ever been when you something in your life and you become fearful and you feel like you are drowning in it? Okay, you have immersed yourself into that fear. And Jesus is saying, are you going to immerse yourself in fear or are you going to immerse yourself in faith? All right. And we know the emotion, right? You know the emotion of almost drowning in fear about something that's happened in your life. And so you want to have that same feeling about immersing yourself, baptizing yourself in faith. And Jesus knew this in his greatest personal challenge that he was going to choose. He knew that he was going to choose to immerse himself in Christ, immerse himself in love and forgiveness while what? Actually hanging on the cross. Okay. And we have all, how many people have ever hung on the cross? Okay. You know what I'm talking about, right? And at that point, can you operate from love and forgiveness, all right? And likewise, when we find ourselves locked in the grip of pain and fear and punishment or crisis and feel we have no way out, we might remember the words that Jesus gave to his disciples. In Mark 9:29, he says, this kind cannot be driven out by anything except prayer, okay? And in Matthew 17:21, he says, however, this kind does not go away except by prayer and fasting. And this is referring to those deep inner emotions that keep you in pain and anguish and cause you to be fearful. You need to be able to put your mind in a whole nother place and state. Jesus said the only way to get rid of those emotions while you're doing that is to rest in Christ and let that process. And again, what does it mean? What does that mean to rest in Christ? When you hear a minister say that, you know, it means that you take on an affirmation, right? And you work that affirmation until you change the nature of your mind, heart, and your whole being. Is everybody following that? And you don't have to stop to do it. I tell you, a lot of times I'm doing it on my morning walk or while I'm in the gym or wherever I'm in. If I find myself in that state, I will pull that affirmation up and I will work it. You don't have to go somewhere and sit. Okay? You could be staring right in somebody's face and doing it. And if they're getting on your nerves, right? Okay. So here, of course, fasting, when he said prayer and fasting, fasting referring to stop feeding on the negative energy of the emotions that are causing you anguish. And we do that. We create this drama in our minds. You know, in the salesmanship class, I always teach the people that, you know, when you're selling something to somebody, you have to be able to draw a picture in that person's mind. They're not listening to your words. They're creating a picture, an image. And it's the image that they buy, right? And so when stuff happens in our lives, we create this image in our mind, all right, about what's going on. And a lot of times the image in our mind is greater than the thing itself, all right? So the key here is you got to be able to, the fasting is you're letting go of the emotions that's creating that. And if you're thinking that's not easy, you are absolutely right. Right? It is not easy. But that is what these lessons are about. They're about those times when Jesus, referring to the Christ consciousness, seems to be too far ahead of us. But even that thought can only be driven out by prayer and fasting. If you're thinking, how do I do that? How do I get this prayer process going? All right. You have to practice and get into the habit of doing that. Because right now we practice and get into the habit of jumping to the negative. Right? Just right away, we just jump right into it. Or fantasizing about things that are just never going to happen. Okay? You got to get your mind back into control. It's all about keeping your mind focused where you want it to be. So it's through prayer that you come to know and understand just how close to Christ really is to you. It's through prayer that the fear of the Christ consciousness being too far from you is removed from your thinking, which gives you a clue. If you're not spending enough time in daily prayer, you will experience a feeling of being distant from Jesus, meaning from your own indwelling Christ consciousness. So how do we overcome feeling separate from our elder brother and way shower, the living Christ? Through daily prayer and fasting from the negative, fearful thoughts, emotions, and behaviors that are contributing to the trials and tribulations in our life. And notice what I just said, that a lot of times it's our thinking that's contributing to the trials and tribulations in our lives. This is just another little side thing. Even if stuff is actually going on, through your mind, you can actually shift yourself to another dimension where it's not happening. All right? Now, I know that's a little bit, you might have to think about that for a minute. Okay? Yeah. But the thing is actually happening, and you are actually able to shift yourself to a place with that. And just a little bit, Greg Braden's book, The Isaiah Effect, talk about how in China they were doing these experiments where a woman had a tumor the size of a grapefruit. And they actually put a, whatever that is, so you can see it, you know, inside her body. And then one doctor got at her feet, another one at her head, and they held her, and she worked with them. And the other doctors, you know, they stood up and they watched in the observatory, and they could see the tumor on the, what is that thing called? It's a scanner that you can, it's another word, but I can't think of it. But they could watch the tumor shrink down and disappear, not even a scar. Okay. So it's possible for you to change your life by changing your mind, changing the way you think, changing the way you see things, okay? So as usual, we have a lot of work to do, you know, just, right? And I work at this all the time, okay? I work at it all the time because I like the experiential process. You know what I mean about experiential process? In other words, I learn something, and then I want to keep experimenting with it and watch to see how it works, all right? So however that is for you, you know, you need to, it's a work in process. Now, I'm going to end with this prayer from Scripture to help us with the spiritual work that we have ahead of us. It's from Ephesians 3, 16 through 17. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth needed to know the love of Christ that surpasses all understanding and knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of glory of God. Amen.